We're with the minister and the exorcist, Bill Bean, and we're taking your calls this hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. George Norrie with you, along with Bill Bean. We'll take your calls this hour as well. Bill, the Mandela effect is something you've looked at. Would you explain what that is for a lot of people?
It's total insanity, really. And if we were talking to the quote-unquote normal average everyday person, they would dismiss me as a madman. And, you know, when I first learned of this, I thought it was insane. I thought, I don't have time for this. I'm busy. You know, I helped.
I'm chasing demons, right? You're busy.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd helped a lady in Scotland, and then a couple of weeks later, she sent me this information with a video saying, are you aware of this? And I saw it said this Mandela effect, and all. I thought, I don't have time for that. I started to delete it. And I'll tell you, George, I really feel that God stopped me from deleting that, and I felt like he was guiding me to watch it. And I watched it, and the video talked about scripture changes in the King James Bible and also other worldly changes that are taking place. And I dismissed it as nonsense at first, and I thought, okay, I'm going to disprove this whole thing right now, because the first thing that I saw, it said Isaiah 11:6 had been changed. And as you know, Isaiah 11:6 is one of the most well-known scriptures in the entire Bible. And this is the passage where it talks about, and the lion shall lay down with the lamb. I mean, there's statues, there's paintings. I have a little figurine on my desk of the lion laying down with the lamb. So I go and grab my Bibles. I have four King James Bibles, and one is 159 years old. It sits in the top of my office closet, and I grabbed them, and I turned them all to Isaiah 11:6. And, George, I spent years in biblical studies, and so I know the scriptures very well. And I sat down, and when I opened to Isaiah 11:6, it saw what I saw. I felt like it was going to fall out of my chair. I truly did. It said, where it used to say, and the lion shall lay down with the lamb, now it says the wolf.
Yeah, that's strange.
How can this be?
It's false memory or something.
Yeah, confabulation, right? That's what they call it.
That's what they say. That's right. And, of course, they call it Mandela effect, because yeah. Nelson Mandela, who ended up running South Africa, that everybody thought he died in prison back in 2013. He didn't.
Yeah. And you're right. It started there. And then there are other things like, you know, Billy Graham supposedly dying twice and other people like that. And then the latest scripture changes, and this started with the King James Bible, and now it's going to other Bibles, because I have Holman Bibles and other versions of the Bible, and it's going into them as well. And the latest change that I recently found is comes out of Judges 16, verse 19. And this is the story of Samson and Delilah. Now, you know that story, George.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What did Delilah do to Samson?
She cut his hair.
Not anymore.
No?
In Judges 16:19, I'm going to read this to you. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. So now, according to this, Delilah did not cut the hair of Samson. She called a man to come in and shave off seven locks of his head.
Now, we know, knowing this story since we were kids, she did it.
Correct. But yet, there it is.
It's changed.
And this is just unfathomable. How can this be? Now, I want everybody to think about this for a second. I'm not talking about Bibles that are coming off the printing press fresh and new. I'm talking about our Bibles in our own possession in our homes. As I stated, I have one that's 159 years old. It's changed in there too. So these changes are supernatural. How they're doing it, I don't know. Is it quantum physics? Is it coming from D-wave quantum computers? I don't know. I don't have the answers for it. But what I do know is that this is very real. I could sit here all night long with you, George, and the scripture after scripture and other things. Now, let me ask you this. How many times in your life have you heard someone mention, or maybe you yourself may have said, wow, it's so busy, it's like Grand Central Station around here.
All the time. All the time.
Okay.
I've never
right.
been to Grand Central Station, but that's what I used to say.
And we know it's in New York.
Yep.
Okay. So here's what I want everybody to do right now. For anyone who will doubt what I'm about to say, I want you to go to your phone or your computer, and I want you to punch up Grand Central Station, because now Grand Central Station is no longer Grand Central Station. It's called Grand Central Terminal, and they say it's always been Grand Central Terminal.
How can this be?
I don't know.
And it happens to the masses.
Yes. And the only way that I can have some semblance of reasoning out of this, I know that the devil's in the details, and I know that he's the author of division and confusion. Perhaps the devil is working through human minions here, through these great technologies that we now have on the earth, and this is part of, again, CERN, D-Wave computers, AI, all of these things tie together, in my opinion. Perhaps this is a gigantic mind op, because it will cause division and confusion. And again, it contributes to the order out of chaos. So here I am saying these things, and there are people that may say, you're a nut. You're a crazy man. That's not true. It's not. And then they'll go and research this. Well, they'll see it for themselves. But at first, they're going to think of a madman, and now there's division because they think this Bill Bean character is going around saying all these things that in their mind is not true until they see it for themselves.
Do you remember the actor Jack Palance?
Yes.
Everybody thought he was dead years before he finally died.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. They would say, no, he passed away a long time. Well, no, he was very much alive, and then he died in 2006. But people had him dead 15 years before that.
I totally agree, and I was one of those people, George. I thought that he was gone as well. You know, we have other changes. In The Wizard of Oz, for instance, and again, please, for everybody out there listening, don't take my word for this. Go research it for yourself, and you'll see it. The Scarecrow is now carrying a pistol.
A pistol?
A silver pistol. Punch it up, and you'll see it for yourself.
There was no way I saw a pistol in the original Wizard of Oz.
No, but he's carrying one now. And
he carried a broomstick.
Exactly. Well, he's carrying a silver pistol now. Now, George, do you remember the movie back in the 80s called Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner?
Field of Dreams. Yes, I sure do. If you build it, they will come.
And I was just going to say to you, what is the big line out of that?
That's it.
Said it. Now, you're sure of that, right?
If you build it, they will come.
And this is your final answer. I'm going to be a game show host. I guess I'll be, one of these game show guys.
That's right. The final answer.
Final answer. Okay. Well, if you, and for everybody out there listening, punch it up for yourselves, the movie Field of Dreams. And that was the big line out of that movie, and George is exactly right. And I remember it that way. He remembers it that way because it was that way. Now it says, if you build it, he will come.
No, they never said that.
I played this for Tommy D. Tommy D and I were having dinner in San Diego
It was the voice of James Earl Jones,
yep,
who said that. If you build it, they will come.
Exactly, and they were referring to the Black Sox team that had all the scandal and everything, and Kevin, that's what the whole movie's about,
right.
Kevin Costner getting all these...
Well, but they were also referring to the crowds that,
yes,
if you build the stadium here, they will come.
Yes, and now it says if you build it, he will come.
Unbelievable. Let's take some calls, Bill. That's amazing.
Yeah, mind-boggling.
Don in Kent, Ohio. Hey, Don, welcome to the program.
God bless you guys. Brother George and Bill, great program. You know, I grew up Roman Catholic, and I have a couple quick comments and one question. As far as the Stargate goes, if you go into Genesis 28, Jacob's ladder, where Jacob lay down and he saw a ladder extend from heaven and he saw angels going back and forth, Stargates have been with us for millennia. And in Mark 16, when at Jesus' resurrection, the first person he appeared to was Mary Magdalene, and it says, in whom he cast out seven devils.
Yeah.
And that's explained also in Matthew 12, They walk in dry places, and if you don't, you know, change your life, they're going to be re-inhabited. Now, here's the question.
You're right.
My brother-in-law, we come from a very strong Catholic family, and at a family meeting, his sister, one of his sisters, started talking with a man's voice, and she, a real raspy, scared the daylights out of everybody. She fell on the floor, started squirming around in a serpentine fashion. They went to the priest. They said, look, we got to have her an exorcism. The priest says, we don't do that. He says, she has to go through the family physician to make sure there's nothing organic. I never heard of such a thing. And then she went to the family physician, and she started doing the same thing. The family physician just jumped back and said, this is out of my field of expertise. Took her to a psychiatrist that kind of specializes in that. Then the psychiatrist told the priest what was going on. This shocked me. This reminded me of Ellie Mazzulli. The priest told her to stop praying to Mary. I mean, what do you think of that?
Well, I think what's happening now, and I've had, and Don, thank you so much. And God bless you, brother. I appreciate your call and your great input. I think what's happening now is that so many in the clergy or, you know, pastors or whatever it may be, I've had many clients come to me and say, you know, I went to my pastor, I went to my priest, and they turned me away. They said, what do you want me to do? I'm not trained in that. So something, there's some kind of disconnect here that's been taking place over the years to where I don't understand this. How is it that, and look, I'm not going to criticize anybody, but if God's called you to be, you know, a servant for him in this way and helping people, shouldn't you be ready for battle and shouldn't you be, you know, ready to engage? But, and look, and it's easy for me to say that, and the only way that I can do what I do, again, is by the power of God, and I praise God for that in Jesus' name. But if you have any kind of fear going into this, engaging demonic forces, it's over. It is over for the person who's trying to deliver the person or people, and it's over for those people as well, because once fear is introduced into this, the devil has the upper hand, and it will go downhill from there.
Amazing. Let's go to Elisa in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, George. Hi, Don.
Hey.
I mean, Bill. Okay, so first thing I want to say is that there's YouTube channels that are devoted specifically to the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
So my question is, how much, if any, do you feel that the shift happening now of the temporary overlapping dimensions between the 3G or the 3D, 4G, and fifth dimension plays in the overwhelming infiltration of demonic entities?
Technical question, Bill.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, we all know that something is happening. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. We see what's taking place in our world now, currently. And if you ask me, this is increasing not only the, you know, manifestation of demons that are increasing on people, but the pulling of the strings as well. So I feel that there are puppet masters in high places that have our world leaders hijacked as well. And it's almost, remember that movie, George, They Live, from 1987, Rowdy Roddy Piper?
Yeah.
I think we're living that now. I think there are these demonic controllers that are part of the satanic kingdom, whether they are reptilians or whatever they may be or whoever they may be. I think they are the ones behind the scenes that are pulling these strings, and they are just having a great old time and a great laugh at our expense to see the world in such chaos.
And it is in chaos. Wow, it's in chaos.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier about being on low frequency and low vibration. There's a reason for this, and they want mankind to be, you know, on low. And so this is why, in my opinion, it's so crucial and vital to have a personal relationship with God, a real relationship. And I didn't come here to preach a sermon. I just came here to speak truth. and I can tell you the God's honest truth, that when I decided to make God first in my life, and I allowed God to come into my life through Jesus Christ, my whole life changed for the better. And so it was part of my transformation. And if God would do that for somebody like me, he'll do it for anybody that calls on him. And the devil knows this, George. And this is why the devil and his minions and the human minions that are following and taking these directives This is why they're doing everything that they possibly can do to break the connection that people have with God and to literally take God out of everything.
Next up, Alan's in Springfield, Massachusetts. Hey, Alan, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Bill, my question for you is, when I was 14 years old, my father was telling me, well, as I'm trying to sleep, there was a black mist or form that came out of the ceiling and started hovering above me about maybe 3 or 4 inches. And my dad was panicking, making all kinds of noise and stuff like that. And I guess about the same time that my head lifted up, I guess you could say its head lifted up, and we both looked at my father at the same time and said, shut up. And my dad said that it came out of my mouth in a kind of a demonic way, a sound, I guess you could say. Any idea what that may have been?
Yeah, those were demons of the night that were literally trying to create havoc with you. And again, I've seen this many times in my career. I've heard these stories from clients, and I've also had these experiences with loved ones and family members as well. So I know it's very real. There are demons of the night that try and come. This is why, and on my website, BillBean.net, I offer these powerful prayers. I have them on the site. And for me, now look, when this show wraps up tonight, it'll be 5 a.m. here Eastern time. I don't care how tired I am or whatever. I will say a spiritual warfare prayer before I go to bed, and I will also declare victory. I declare victory in each and every day of my life and will do so for the rest of my life because God transformed me from victim to victor. So, again, this is why it's very important to establish a real and authentic and personal relationship with God, to where when we are praying, we're literally invoking the power of God over us. And this is the only way that I can do what I do. This is the only way that I can go into high, high wickedness and high-level stressful situations that sometimes turn physical and not have any fear. I've got to be in control at all times, and it's only by the power of God that I can do that.
Let's go to Steve in Washington. Welcome to the show. We'll get you in before the break, Stephen. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
The reason I'm calling is because I know you're going through. I've gone through the same thing for the last 7, 8 years. But anyway, one thing I found out that these demons, what have you, are cowards. You face them down, they're going to back off. And I've gone through hell. I've been in the hospital. I've lost a lot of my health through the whole thing. And it's just... It's unbelievable what you go through. I've seen things that you should never see. And these visions I have are terrible.
Demon-related, Steve?
Yes, demon-related. I've seen hell. I've seen Satan 3 or 4 times. And all he says to me is, I want you.
Jeez, don't let him get you. Don't let him get you. We're going to come back in a moment with Bill Bean and take final questions. His website, Bill J, with just the J, Bean.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And what we've been talking about tonight, of course, you can find in his book, Dark Force Revisited. On our next Coast to Coast program for the first half, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny joins us to talk about vaccinations. And then later on, we are going to introduce you to the newest Coast to Coast team member, our new investigative reporter. So make sure you're part of the program. That'll be in the second half of the show. And we're really looking forward to that. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Bill Bean. His book is called Dark Force Revisited. Bill, where can people get your book?
They can go to BillJBean.com. And if you want me to sign it, just make the order and request that I sign it. I'll personally sign it for you, and we'll get it out to you as soon as possible. And for anybody out there that is suffering spiritually, and you feel like you're cursed, or you feel like you're under some type of demonic oppression, or if you have a friend or a loved one that you feel is under possession, don't hesitate to contact me, and we will get them help.
Super. Before we go to final calls, you had a UFO experience, several of them. Tell us about that.
Many. Many, George. This started in 1977, back at that house. It was the first UFO sighting that I had. But yet, there are photographs, and... two in particular that I'm about to mention One was taken in 1974 in the house, and it's a family photograph, one of the very few happy family photographs that were ever taken. And behind my dad in the photo, and you can find these photos at philjbean.com, behind my dad, over his shoulder, is this very large face in front of the back door. And to his left, there is wall art there. It's a depiction of a peacock. And in the center of the peacock, you can clearly see what appears to be an alien-looking face there. Now, that's 1974. And then the next year, in 1975, there's a photograph that was taken of my mother, who was on the telephone, and she's standing behind a bar. My father built that bar, knocked out a closet, and built the bar in that house. And there was a very large and long rectangular mirror behind her, and an oval-shaped mirror to her left. And in the oval-shaped mirror appears to be this very large alien-looking face. So, you know, as we've talked about before, these things, based on my experiences, are very connected. So you're bringing in this UFO alien aspect into the paranormal, supernatural. And a lot of people don't want to connect these things, George, but
it's there.
Trust me, they're very much connected. Yeah, I've had many UFO experiences and encounters with non-human beings many times over the years.
Tom in La Jolla, California is with us. Hey, Tom.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank
and
you.
Bill, it's always a pleasure to hear your interviews and
Thank
research.
You,
comment and then a question. In my very early childhood, I lived in a very dysfunctional family. And by second grade, I could not read, I could not write. I lived in a fantasy world, and one elementary school teacher decided to take me under her wing and tutor me, you know, after class, and she did everything for me, and, you know, I wasn't properly fed at home, and so she would pack like a double lunch. And I would eat lunch with her, you know, and get properly fed, and then stay after school, etc. And she taught me to read and write. And it was a glorious year that I spent with this lady. And her name was Madeline Knight. And I later found out that she was an ex-nun. Okay. But she also taught me other things. Again, she knew that I was in a very dysfunctional family with very dysfunctional parents, and we were not allowed to go to church, etc. And so privately, there at the school, she taught me to pray. She taught me to have a relationship with Jesus and taught me to have a relationship with the angels. Particularly, well, she was old school Catholic, so particularly Archangel Michael. And she taught me whenever I had a situation, any situation, you make a vocal prayer and you say, Jesus, or you say, Michael, help me. And believe me, those simple phrases saved me throughout my life. And I corresponded with her for many years through college, and realized that she was really a spiritual warrior and a very old school Catholic, you know, in terms of spiritual warfare. You know how you see people and you say, those people are so pure, that woman is so pure, she must be an angel. Well, Madeline Knight was an angel. I call her Sister Madeline now. So my question to you, Bill, is she taught me the importance of not only having a personal relationship with Jesus, but to have a personal relationship with angels. And, of course, being old school Catholic, with Archangel Michael. And so I was wondering if you would speak about the role of angels in spiritual warfare, exorcism, etc.
Yeah.
And particularly if you have any anecdotes, personal anecdotes. And thank you again for everything you do, Bill.
Well, thank you, my brother, and God bless you. And yeah, angels play a very large role in this. And what I do is I follow what Jesus said. Jesus said, this is how you should pray, our Father who art in heaven. So I direct my prayers to God, Yahweh. His name is listed 6,823 times in the Bible, covered up by the title of Lord. Wherever you see Lord in caps, it should say Yahweh. Jesus' Hebrew name is Yahshua, which means Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves through him. So I direct my prayers to God, per the instruction of Jesus in the scriptures. And I ask God, when I'm in spiritual warfare, I ask him to send his giant warrior angels that will come to the home, you know, the property, to the family, and even pets, if they have pets. And I ask for God to send his giant warrior angels and take any and every demon that may be present into custody and carry them off and deposit them back into the pits of hell where they belong. We've got to be very careful when we are performing these exorcism spiritual deliverances, because for me, when this is taking place and when these demons are coming out, I want to make sure that God has his angels there to take them into custody, because I've heard upteen stories, and even in churches, to where when the pastor is binding and rebuking and casting out these demons, they're jumping into other people. So we have to be very, very careful, and this is why I do call on God to send those angels to be right there to take those things into custody.
We've got Cornelius in Louisiana with us. Hello there, Cornelius.
Hey there, George and Bill. Boy, that's great from Thomas from La Jolla. Boy, I tell you, that man's something else. Bill, I'm the God, Guns and Gold man, the Bible Bullets and Beans man, telling everybody to get ready. I'm in George Norrie's army. I was just talking to Miss Donna, Bill, and there's this show coming on CBS tonight, and I hope you'll see it, George. It's called Evil, a black male priest. Right. It's just almost the same thing as what you've been talking about tonight. And what it is, this black male priest is going to ask for help from this white female psychiatrist, but she doesn't believe. And so eventually, I guess she's going to come along and believe. But, Bill, the best thing that I've learned about this spiritual warfare, because I don't know if you know about Louisiana, they got a lot of voodoo, hoodoo, and you-do down here.
I help people down there, and I know all about it, yeah.
But anyway, I believe in Psalm 97. I hope Thomas is still listening. You pray to the name of Jesus, and you say the Lord's Prayer just like you say.
Yeah.
I look at the Proverbs. There's each day for the Proverbs. In other words, if there's 31 days in a month, 28 days in a month, you have each day for a proverb for a day. And that's what I use as part of my spiritual warfare. And like I said, George, boy, I love your show. I just got one thing that I wanted to tell you. I wanted to call in on the cop show where you were talking about suicide.
Yeah.
But correctional officers go through suicide too.
Sure.
We need to pray for our correctional officers and military personnel.
Yeah,
so I hope
absolutely.
Maybe...
God bless
you. On Veterans Day, you'll do a 4-hour show where we can all call in the military, the police, and correctional officers, because we need help out there.
Oh, we just had a whole handful of Navy sailors kill themselves on a ship.
I saw that, George. That was unbelievable. All from the same carrier group or naval ship.
Very weird.
Or whatever.
Very weird. Okay, open lines on Friday, Cornelius. Get ready. For sure. But, Bill, let's take a few more calls as the clock is ticking, ticking, ticking.
Sure.
Barry's in South Carolina. Hey, Barry, go ahead.
George, what a pleasure it is to speak to you. And my buddy Cornelius called me a while ago and said he was on hold, so I had to call in.
You two double-team me.
Oh, no kidding. Back to back. But and Thomas, too, of course. And, boy, oh, boy, God bless him. George, he is so smart and talented, and I know what he's talking about. I was in third grade when I had a teacher like him. But anyway, I've got a question for Bill. But first, I just heard you a little while ago mention one of my all-time favorite actors, Jack Palance.
Yep.
And one of his greatest roles was playing Jack Wilson, the gunfighter in Shane.
That's right. But, I mean, everybody thought the guy had died before he died.
Listen, I was in on the controversy. People telling me he was dead. I said, no, he's not, I'm telling you. And when our validation came, George, sure enough, he was still alive. And I told those people, I said, I told you so.
Strange.
But listen, Bill, for you, golly, buddy, I'm so happy for you, and I'm so happy you're on the air with George.
My brother.
Your dad died at 48 years old, and my dad died at 56 years old, and he had pancreatic cancer and committed suicide. He told me he was going to do it. But anyway.
Sorry to hear that.
Did your dad, by any chance, die of suicide also?
No, he was shot to death, my brother. He was shot to death at the age of 48, and my mom died of a cerebral hemorrhage at the age of 44, and many other family members. I have very little family left, and lots of family tragedies, and I mean just bizarre tragedies. So I feel for you, and I'm very sorry, and you'll see your dad again in God's heavenly kingdom. And look, for those that think that people are damned because of suicide, I always pray that God will have mercy, because we're all guilty of something. And I know that our God loves us, and I know that he forgives us as well. So when someone does take their life, I always pray that God will have mercy on them and accept them into his heavenly kingdom. And I believe that he does, because he loves us that much.
My father's father died when he was 50. I never had a chance to know him. He died before I was even around. And my dad died at 88, Bill. But I remember as he was approaching 50, my father, he had this strange persona about him as he got close to that year. Because I think he thought he was going to die, like his dad.
I think people know it. I don't know how they know it, but I've been around so many people that have passed. And most of them knew that something was coming, something was out, or they started acting differently. They just knew it, and my mother was among them. They knew it.
Joe in Monterey, California. Go for it, Joseph.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Bill, you're a great warrior, Bill. I never forget
that. My brother.
These dimensions are really, they're crossing over. If you look at the changes, like in the Bible, you know, our passage refers to astrological symbols. And in our constellation, there is no wolf. But maybe in their constellation, there is.
Yeah.
And what do you call it? And what's his name? Oz, the Scarecrow would never carry a gun. But maybe in their version, he does.
Correct.
Negativity. Okay. That fear that you see in the client's eyes is the demons terrified because a warrior of God has just come into the room.
And we praise God for it. You know, you reminded me of something, and I know we're running out of time, so I don't want to get long-winded on this. But
Minute to go, Bill.
I had a client in 2015 that was possessed, and when he put his head down, he spit at me, and he put his head down, and I grabbed him by his hair and pulled his head up, and when his eyes met mine, he had this anguished look on his face, and then all of a sudden his head went all the way back, and the demons were coming out of him at that point. Now, again, it's not that I'm any special one. It's just the power of God working through me that overcame those demons.
Jeez, strange stuff. Bill, keep in touch with us. You're one of our faves, my friend.
God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much, as always, George. God bless you and your family, and we'll talk soon.
You got it. Bill Bean, his book, of course, is called Dark Force Revisited. You can get it through his website, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Tomorrow in our second half of the program, we're going to introduce you to one of the newest members of the Coast to Coast team, our new investigative reporter, and that person will have a series of great stories for you, so listen in. For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.